Hi, this is Cam from the Nerd Book Review, where I strive to broaden your fantasy horizons. Today, I'm going to talk about The Outlaw Mage by Kay Vioso. It was published in August of this year. I've got a couple of conflicting page numbers, depending on whether I look on Goodreads or Amazon, but somewhere in the high 400s, 497 is what I'm getting off of Amazon. As far as genres go, more of a mystery adventure style novel that happens to be a fantasy. Amazon has it in both Gaslamp and Romanticy. I certainly don't think I would classify it as Romanticy, but Gaslamp probably would work. But I would happen to think of it way more as like an adventure novel that is also a fantasy. This book has just a single point of view character named Rosha. I think that the easiest way to break this book down is going to be to talk a little bit about the world itself that Kay Vioso has built, and then we'll talk about how Rosha fits into that world and how like the magic and the world building and all that stuff works. But before I actually get into that, I need to talk about K.S. Vioso, the author herself. She is from the Philippines. She emigrated to Canada when she was young. I think as like around like 9-10 years old. And so an awful lot of her books are tinged with that Eastern upbringing, that Filipino upbringing. And you're going to definitely get like that Eastern flair with dealing with like food, even place names sometimes, people's names. I definitely felt that was a lot stronger with the first series that I read from her. The Wolf of Oren Yarrow is the first book in the Bitch Queen series. And I actually had a little bit of trouble that Eurocentric upbringing that I've had. I like learning people and place names a little bit. But once I got past that, those were great books. In fact, I kind of feel a little bit, I feel more than a little bit guilty that I never ended up doing a book review on the Wolf Queen of Oren Yarrow. I tried to set up an interview with K.S. Vioso, the author, and right about that time is when I stopped publishing new episodes of the podcast. So The Wolf Queen of Oren Yarrow just kind of fell through the cracks for me, despite being a book that I really liked. I read it, and then I read the second book immediately after I read the first book. And one of the things that I wrote down in my notes, I still have those notes from that first book, is that K.S. Vioso, she has that it factor, where I really do think that if she put together a shopping list and put a little bit of prose in there, I would be happy reading that. All of the books that I've read from her now, three of them, the prose is great. The character interactions is really good. Character dialogue is something that some people struggle with, and Kay just has down pat. The character interactions in both series felt very natural and easy to read. And the world building's great in both series. Basically, what I'm saying is that I also think you should read the Bitch Queen series as well. And I feel definitely a little bit on the bad side that I never ended up doing a review for that series. All right, getting into my thoughts on The Outlaw Mage itself. The book came out in August of this year, which is 2023. If you're watching this at a later time, it is a single point of view character book, with Rosha being that point of view character. At the beginning of the book, she is 15 to 18-ish. Then she will be 21 when the main part of the story takes place. She is a member of the Gorontan ethnic group, which has been subjugated by the Dagian ethnic group. The Gorontans are the darker skinned people. The Dagians are the lighter skin. Dagians were able to take over despite coming to the what is now the Dagian Empire as refugees, because they use magic with technology better, and they were able to take over from the Gorontan people, who were a lot less warlike than they were. And as a result, now the Gorontans are second-class citizens. As a general rule, even the ones who can be mages end up being like mage thralls. Everyone has to go to a mage college to learn how to control their power, but most of the time the Gorontans or any of the other minor ethnic groups will end up getting put in those minor schools, and then they'll end up being like mage thralls to a Dagian mage so help him like be more powerful. They are, you know, treated all right these days, but they're definitely second-class citizens. Rosha even though she is Gorrington, her father is very, very rich. So he is going to help her get into that that school. Because if one thing that can not exactly level the playing field, but make it closer in the Dajian Empire is being wealthy. So luckily for Rosha, her father is wealthy. So she is able to go to that prestigious magical school. She becomes the first Gorrington ever to go to their version of Harvard. She ends up dropping out the day of her final tests. She gets sabotaged by another student. She's been treated horribly by faculty, by students, by pretty much anybody the entire time she's been at Heldreth, this prestigious school. She's denied the use of magical aids and things like that. They always say, well, you're the best student anyways, because she's very powerful and is very driven because she knows she has to be to succeed. She leaves. She just had enough on this final day. She ends up basically running and becoming an outlaw mage. That's where we get that outlaw mage term. She actually steals a wagon, and the guard dog of the people of the mages who were sent actually to retrieve her when she just walked out of the school on her own. But she managed to elude them, goes off to a forgotten part of the empire, and basically is a little, does very minor spells so that she doesn't get caught, helps the town, do their best in who's been forgotten. As far as like technology goes in this world, I kind of thought like maybe like early 1800s, but it is more like that steampunk gas lamp style. There's airships. People travel a lot by airship, but the airships are powered by magic. Any technology that they do have is mainly powered by magic. There is talk of guns at one point, Rosha mentions, but I never see guns in the books. People are fighting with swords and magic for the most part. The magic system itself, in some ways, I really thought Wheel of Time. You throw spells. People can actually, do like traps, lay traps, or they can, use runes or imbue items with magical abilities. So kind of like thought Angriel, Turangriel. Really, there is not a lot of like, it's definitely not taken from Wheel of Time, but that's where my brain went, I think. And it helped me kind of like, that's how the lens I saw it through in some ways. Like people are throwing fireball spells out and things like that. You can have shields. You tie yourself out by using magic, and magic can actually hurt you and the land if it's used too much. And in some places in the Dajian Empire, like crops aren't doing well because they've taken that life force. It's called the Agon or Agon, and they've drained too much of it. And so the Empire is a little bit brittle. Despite them, being the most powerful, kind of being one of the two superpowers of the area that's talked about. There's another empire that kind of reminds me of China from the way it's described. They use dragons, and that's kind of helped them, stay in power and stave off the Dajian Empire. But just in general, lots of magic is used. It seems like, maybe as high as 5-ish percentage of the population has magic. But it's not rare. Not everyone has it either, though. I thought that the way that the character building was done was amazing. I really liked Rosha as a character. She grows throughout the entire novel from beginning to end. She's a lot more fun of a character as things go on. She's a very serious person to start off with. She has to be, in order to succeed. She's been her against the world for an awful lot of her life, and she didn't seem like a character that I was going to love to start off with, but I'm glad that pretty quickly on, you start to care about her quite a bit. Her interactions with her family are great. Her interactions with a former student later on, who I guess where you get that, that's where we get that romanticy part of it. There is no real romantic relationship during it, but a former student who was like her biggest rival will come back into her life. Someone that she connects with. Just all in all, I felt like the relationships in the story were awesome and amazing, and were definitely a part of the book that were a positive and a real strong point. Kay writes dialogue very well. I really like the interactions between the characters. The world building is great. There were a few info dumps, which, as I mentioned, I love info dumps, so I prefer those in a book. Those happen pretty early, generally, but they do discuss magic, her and the that former rival at various times, and spells and what spells can and can't do. I love all that kind of stuff. Tons of action that happened, you know, during the adventures of the story. In fact, there's a lot more action than I probably expected there to be at times, because I thought that, you know, it was going to be more like mystery point A to point B. Rosha gets drawn back into things when she's supposed to find her father, who's been kidnapped or just disappeared. She ends up finding a huge conspiracy that spans the entire empire when she finds her father, or as she is searching for her father. And the book blurb, which I didn't read, goes a lot more into detail about that kind of stuff. So now that I've talked a little bit about, we have the Dajian Empire. You know, Rosha, our single point of view character, is going to be from the Gorrington class. So she is always treated poorly a little bit because of that. And, you know, technology, like I said, about like reminding me of like 1800s with magic powering things instead of steam. Getting into my actual review side of things, I found this book to just be a super easy read. I loved the character interactions. I loved Rosha as a character. You know, she is angry at how she's been treated, but she doesn't make stupid decisions because of it. She uses it to draw strength for herself and to always try to be the best she can be. You worry at the beginning of the book that, you know, she's not going to be a great character, but very quickly you see her growth. You know, she is growing in as the prologue or the very first chapters. You know, she's a teenager, and then there's that 3-year time jump, and you see her the growth that she's had when she's been out on her own and been able to thrive and flourish. And all in all, if you're someone that likes a strong female character, then Rosha is a great character. I loved the dialogue. I loved her interactions with her family. She's going to deal with like a powerful uncle, a father. She holds her own. She doesn't have a very good relationship with her mother. And, you know, it's funny that her mother is probably the least powerful of all of the people she deals with, but her mother's still the one who's able to hurt her the most through words. So, you know, there's a complex story here. She's got younger brothers and sisters that she deals with. I just felt like her family was very complex. The secondary characters were great, especially that's something that can be harder when you have a single point of view character book, too, you know. But I still felt like Kay managed to just have a world that felt alive. You do move around a little bit within the Dajian Empire. And I felt like each city kind of felt a little bit unique. And it was really fun. There, you get a little bit of food cuisine differences between different places, too, that's talked about. You know, it definitely has an Eastern flair a little bit with the food. But I just kind of felt like she created a vibrant world. She has vibrant characters, a great, entertaining storyline. There's a ton of action in this book. You'll have her needing to, you know, go do things and figure out mysteries, since this is a mystery adventure book as she's trying to find what happened to her father. You know, it's not like they go to point A, then they go to point B, and, you know, they're trying to find this clue and that clue, and nothing happens in between. There's a lot of action. You know, there's a lot of spells thrown out there here and there. And you're going to deal with some monsters. We hear about that there are dragons in the world. We don't see any of those dragons in this book. I imagine we probably will as we move forward. But, you know, it's fun. You see like some supernatural creatures that are created by magic. All in all, I found this to be like a super fun read. There is going to be that social component that that is clearly in the book, but I didn't feel like it got in the way of the book being, you know, just like tons of fun as well. I think that Kay probably, from what I've read, you know, wants those social issues to be something that is talked about a little bit and for you to think about as a reader. But I felt like that just added to the storyline as opposed to hurting the storyline at all. I rooted for Rosha to get through the problems that she had. I can be absolutely honest with you that I was super sad that the second book wasn't already available. And I really hope that when the second book does come out, that I get a chance to read it pretty quick. And I think it'd be fun if we get to actually, you know, move outside of the Dajian Empire. I can't be sure that that's going to happen, obviously. But she definitely has set it up so that the wider world can be something that we'll see more of. And it's something that I'm excited to look forward to. As far as a rating goes on this one, this is a hard 5 out of 5. I absolutely stayed up past my bedtime. You know what? I've read several books now recently where I stayed up past my bedtime. I guess I'm finally starting to find some good books for me, and maybe I need to branch out a little bit to see if I do find something else. But this book's a hard 5 out of 5. I think that this has a fairly wide audience. It is fantasy. There is magic. But if you're, you know, if you're a fan of adventure novels, then it's something that you would like as well. If you're a fan of fantasy, then you're going to get more fantastical things, I think, coming forward. You still deal with a little bit of fantasy here and there. Lots of magic. So, you know, that makes that whole fantasy element. If you like steampunk gas lamp, this would be for you. There is a lot of action. There are some sex scenes, but those happen off the page. So it'll be, you know, it'll talk a couple of times about that Roshan went to bed with someone that she was in a relationship with, but there's no description of what happened. So I think that someone from like early teens all the way on up would be able to enjoy it. Now, obviously, there's some violence, there's spells thrown around in anger, but there's not like a whole bunch of like torture scenes or anything like that, you know. So I think this book has wide appeal. Absolutely recommend it to almost anybody. And I absolutely plan on recommending it to almost anybody. I'd also recommend giving her previous series, the Bitch Queen series, which starts off with The Wolf of Orin Yarrow, a chance. I personally enjoyed them as well. I hope you guys enjoyed my video. Please like and subscribe if you enjoyed my videos, and tell all your friends about it. Thank you.